all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good evening, and welcome to Veterans Radio. Veterans Radio, dedicated to all of America's veterans, and we want to say to all my veteran brothers and sisters around the world, thank you for your service and welcome home. We're very excited to have you on the program today. We want to talk about what's going to be happening. First of all, we're going to be talking with Joe Klein. Joe Klein is a Time magazine columnist, and he has written a book entitled Charlie Mike, True Story of War and Finding the Way Home, and it's about it's about this generation of veterans and what they are doing when they do get home. And so I'm excited to have him on the program. I'm excited to have another guest. Ken Harbaugh is going to be on. He is one of the people that is mentioned in the book, and he's going to be talking about some of the organizations that this generation of veterans have formed, not only to help other veterans, but to help society in general. So I'm really excited to have them on as well. We want to encourage you to participate in the program today, so I want you to get a pen out and write down this number. It's 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. That's the number if you're in southeastern Michigan, and you can give us a call and ask a question yourself or make a few comments if you'd like. Our toll-free number happens to be 844-838-1600. 844-838-1600. There's a number of events going on, but the real one that I wanted to talk about today just quickly was the one that's going on at Grosse Pointe War Memorial up in Grosse Pointe on December 23rd. And this is dinner for 1,000 veterans and their families, but you got to go to their website, which is warmemorial.org, and sign up and register for this. It's December 23rd. It runs from 11 in the morning until 7 at night. It's a free meal, as I said, for you and your family, and it's co-sponsored by Justin Verlander and his Veterans Fund that he's got going to help out local veterans. And so I think this is something that you may want to investigate. So go to warmemorial.org, click on events, and all the information is right there for you. By the way, if you are listening to us on the Internet, we want to thank WHAM, Talk Radio 1600, for providing us with the streaming capabilities of doing that. If you want to listen to some of our older programs, you can go to veteransradio.net and click on Archives. We've got about 4 years' worth of programming up in our archives. We are also starting to put podcasts up on our website. That's veteransradio.net. And the newest thing that we're working on right now is we're putting together an Internet radio station on Live 365. So if you go to live365.com, and type in Veterans Radio, it'll come up there. It'll say Veterans Radio Network, and a number of our programs are on there and some additional programming that we haven't gotten onto broadcast radio yet. So I'm encouraging you to do that. And finally, the last promo I'm going to do for Veterans Radio right now is, since it is the holiday season, I want you to go to the Veterans Radio bookstore. Go to the Veterans Radio bookstore. You can get there from our site, veteransradio.net. Up in the top row, it says bookstore. Click on that, and every single book that we have talked about on Veterans Radio for the last year is on there, and you can purchase them directly through that website. It will take you to Amazon, and if you buy a book as a result of that, Veterans Radio will get a couple of pennies for you doing that, and we would greatly appreciate that. So without further ado, we are going to take our first real quick break, and I think everybody's prepared over that. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Joe Klein and his book, Charlie Mike. We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
First thing I did when that plane finally landed was kiss the ground. Next thing I did was to go find my friends down at the old hangout.
And we are back on Veterans Radio, and we're getting ready to welcome our guest. Again, for those of you that are listening out there and you want to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call here at Talk Radio 1600 at 734-822-1600. So Joining me on the program today is Joe Klein. And Joe Klein is an award-winning journalist and the author of at least six books, including a number one bestseller, Primary Colors, and also a book entitled Payback, Five Marines After Vietnam. So I think he knows what he's talking about here. Most recently, Politics Lost, his weekly Times column in the arena, covers U.S. politics, elections, foreign policy. He has won two National Headliner Awards for Best Magazine Column. Previously, he served as a Washington correspondent for The New Yorker and a political reporter for Newsweek. Klein graduated from the University of Pennsylvania with a degree in American Civilization. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations and a former Guggenheim Fellow, and he writes a really good book. So welcome to Veterans Radio, Joe Klein.
Well, thanks, Dale. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, as I said, I was sent this book by the publicist or the publicity person at Simon & Schuster. And I want to give Lindsay Means a plug here because she did a great job by putting everybody all together for today's program. So tell me, we'll start right back with the traditional question, I guess, is what does Charlie Mike mean?
Well, it means in military radio code, continue the mission. And Charlie Mike is a book about this generation of veterans who seem very much intent on continuing their mission when they get home. There are surveys that show that 90% of them want to continue working in their communities, being part of the political process, and coaching and teaching and being the kind of solid citizens that we expect them to be. You know, part of the reason why I wrote this book, and I wouldn't be on the air here if I hadn't been downrange in Iraq and Afghanistan with the troops. But you know, most of the things that you see and hear, that civilians see and hear about veterans are, you know, they get one side of the story. They see veterans as basket cases, as drug addicts, as suicides, and all the rest. And that seemed to me to be quite the opposite of what I knew. I mean, those problems are real. Post-traumatic stress is real. But when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, especially in Afghanistan, I saw our troops governing towns under fire, under very difficult circumstances, and actually helping out the folks there, using public works funds, SERP funds, to open schools and build roads and dig wells and that sort of thing. And one day I was out in the town of Sanjuray in Kandahar province in Afghanistan with a young captain, Jeremiah Ellis, who was in the 4th Infantry Division, whom I was embedded with those guys. And I watched him negotiating with one of the village elders, and all of a sudden the light bulb went off, and I said to myself, if he can do this here, under fire, in a different language, dealing with some of the most impoverished people in the world, he can go back home to Iowa and run for governor. And so what I decided to do was to take a tour of the country and find out whether the troops coming home were doing that sort of thing. And in the process, I found Eric Greitens, a former Navy SEAL, who started the Mission Continues, which gives 6 months public service fellowships to wounded veterans. Now they give them to all veterans. Through Eric, I found Jake Wood, who was one of the first Mission Continues fellows, and he's a former Marine sergeant who started Team Rubicon, which does disaster relief all over the world and certainly here at home.
Well, it's very true. We're talking with Joe Klein here on Veterans Radio, and the book is entitled Charlie Mike. And one of the things that we've found here on Veterans Radio is when talking to Iraq and Afghanistan veterans is that so many of them were involved in community projects, as you mentioned earlier, and they did. They had to go out and negotiate with these various tribal leaders to get roads built, to build schools, to just the logistics of running a war. There are so many talents that these men and women have.
Yes. I mean, and I think that part of the reason, the way I got here was that I wrote a column in 2006 about counterinsurgency warfare, and you know, which nobody knew about at the time. But it seemed to me the war, if you recall, was going very, very badly in 2006, and this was something that we hadn't tried, the idea of trying to protect the innocent rather than playing whack-a-mole trying to find the bad guys. And I wrote the column in Time, and the next day General David Petraeus called me up and said, "You're on the right track, but you don't know anything. Do you want to come out to Fort Leavenworth, where we're writing a doctrine, and study with us?" And I went out there, and these guys, I mean, there were four types of guys there and women. There were first in their class at West Point guys, and then there were Rhodes Scholars, and then there were PhDs, and the fourth type were first in their class at West Point who were also Rhodes Scholars and PhDs. I mean, this was a really impressive group of guys, and as I learned about this strategy, you know, 6 months later, Petraeus got the job of leading our troops in Iraq, and so that's when I started. That's when I started embedding.
I think it's amazing what you just said. You know, there was I forget where the column was that I read. I know it wasn't yours, but they were talking about the lack of these intellectual intellects, I guess you could call, from the Ivy League being in today's military, and in a way you describe it where you've got the, you know, number one in a class at West Point or Annapolis or wherever it happens to be, and then there also the Rhodes Scholar and it or PhD. These are pretty smart women, pretty smart men and women that are starting to, you know, they're getting out of the military now and they're starting to look at what they can do on the civilian side.
Right. Well, you know, it's not only that they're smart, it's also that they are really well trained and disciplined. And they also, you know, they do something that most Americans no longer do. I mean, you guys are the 1%, right?
Right, yeah,
the combat veterans, and the rest of us are the real 99%. But these are people who have a sense of being part of something larger than themselves. And, you know, I'm an old political reporter, and what I've noticed is that more and more Americans don't have that sense, that they, you know, that they think that all you need to do to be a citizen is to hang out on the couch and watch TV, that you don't even need to vote. But, you know, to my mind, and a big reason why I wrote Charlie Mike was to show the civilian world what real citizens look like, and that's what I've been finding in the veterans community, people who really have a sense of responsibility, who really take our country seriously, and, you know, sadly, not enough other people do.
Well, that's because it's up to you and me and all the other people that are in media in general, is that we got to get this side of the word out so that people will understand that these men and women are doing amazing things. The book itself, Charlie Mike, does talk about the two people that you mentioned earlier on, Eric Crichtons and Jake Wood, that, you know, what their experiences were like when they were in Iraq and Afghanistan and what their missions were and some of the things that affected them. I don't necessarily want to get into all the details because I want people to read the stories. They were very powerful, Joe, and I want to make sure people understand that this is I don't want to say it's easy reading, but this was one of the books that I didn't put down until I was done.
Oh, great.
And it just, you know, grabbed at my heart for all of the right reasons, because as a Vietnam veteran, we know that people didn't necessarily respect what we were doing while we were in the service, and they certainly didn't really want to care about us when we got home, and that'll be the end of my whining about that. But the when they did come home, and you talked about Eric Crichtons and Jake Wood, and the idea that Eric Crichtons is a pretty bright guy. We weren't able to get him for today because he's busy running for governor of Missouri, right?
Yeah, and there are other veterans out there who are also running for office, and boy, do we need them. And that's a key sentence in this book. Eric was a Rhodes Scholar. He was just a stone humanitarian. He would go and work in refugee camps when he was in college and when he was at Oxford. And at one point, he's in a refugee camp in Rwanda, and he sees all these kids with their legs and their arms chopped off by machetes. And he decided that the innocent in the world needed, you know, heavily armed moral protection, and so he became a Navy SEAL. And he was blown up in Iraq. His barracks was bombed in Fallujah. And he came home. He's at Bethesda Naval Hospital and was walking up and down the wards. And, you know, I've done this. I'm sure you've done it too, Dale. It's a very moving experience. And he was asking these terribly wounded kids, what do you want to do next? And they all said the exact same thing. I've had this exact same experience. They all said, I want to go back to my unit. I want to finish my tour with my guys. I want to be with my brothers and sisters. And clearly a lot of these kids weren't going to be able to do that. And so Eric would ask them, well, what do you want to do after you finish serving? And they would say, you know, that they wanted to help continue serving in the community. And the key sentence that Eric said was, you know that thank you for your service has become kind of an ironic thing to say, because a lot of civilians will say that and feel that they're off the hook, right? that's all you need to do. Yeah. Or thank you for your service, but I'm not going to hire you because I'm afraid you're going to shoot up my office, that kind of thing. What Eric said to them was, thank you for your service. We still need you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the spirit behind Charlie Mike. That is what this book is about. It's about my belief that we really still need the veterans who have served us. And this generation is different from the Vietnam generation because they all volunteered. They all volunteered. And
I think that's the important thing that people seem to forget, that every single one of these men and women volunteered. Nobody coerced them into doing it. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't a draft going on. There wasn't anybody in the court saying, hey, you know, go to the service or go to jail, anything of those that nature. Every single one of them volunteered because...
And they volunteered, a lot of them, on September 12th,
that's right.
2001.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were attacked. We were imperiled. And they rose to the challenge. And so I think that what happened was that when Eric would say to these wounded veterans at Bethesda, we still need you, he saw an immediate reaction. Wow, we're still needed. And he decided to start the Mission Continues, which gave these 6-month fellowships to wounded veterans at first, now to all veterans. If they hook up with, you know, a public service organization in their community, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Habitat for Humanity, all kinds of different things, they would be paid a stipend for 6 months. And one of the first was this guy, Jake Wood. And he's a really kind of amazing character. He played left tackle for the University of Wisconsin. He was a big guy. He was really moved by the story of Pat Tillman, the safety for the Arizona Cardinals, who left his pro football career to, fight in Afghanistan and was killed there in a friendly fire incident. And Jake decided that as soon as he got out of college, he was going to go join the Marines. Trouble was that he had had 6-foot surgeries or 5-foot surgeries at that point, and the Marines didn't want to have him as an officer. And finally he found a recruiter who needed to meet a quota, and he did 2 tours, one in Iraq, one in Afghanistan. And to give you an example of the kind of things I've seen veterans do, Jake got out at the end of 2009, and he was home with his girlfriend in California, and he was watching the cable news, and he saw the Haiti earthquake, and he said, I want to go help. And so he called a bunch of his friends, and they found some doctors. They called themselves Team Rubicon. The first group was 8, and They got down to Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and because of their skills and because of their organization, within 3 days, they were running the largest emergency room in Port-au-Prince and the biggest hospital in Haiti. And, you know, I've been out on Team Rubicon deployments, and I'd recommend to your whole audience, because this is now not limited to just Iraq and Afghanistan veterans.
Right.
You know, I've been out on Team Rubicon deployments for tornadoes and stuff like that, where there were Vietnam veterans who came and joined in and were part of it and felt part of the community. And when you go out and you actually see these guys and women in action, you see that all the church groups and the other do-gooders who come, thank God, to help out, they all look to Team Rubicon. They all look to the military guys to help them get organized and figure out what they should be doing.
Hey.
And to me, that's a model for a lot of things.
I totally agree with you. And it motivated so many veterans that I know to get re-involved with different activities out there, building houses for homeless veterans or for veterans that are disabled. I know in our area that they've built, I don't know, 3 or 4 homes for, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan veterans who needed handicap accessibility and all of
that. Who's been doing that? Is that Purple Heart Homes?
It could be that.
Because they're really excellent. They're based in North Carolina, but they build homes for veterans all over the country now.
Right. Yeah, I know, and the DAV has gotten involved in that, and in the Michigan area, along with the Vietnam Veterans of America. I want to take a pause here just for a second. I want to bring on Ken Harbaugh, who happens to be the new COO, Chief Operations Officer of Team Rubicon, and also was one of the co-founders of The Mission Continues. And then we're going to have about 5 minutes, and then we'll take a break, and we can come back and talk more about what you guys are up to. So, Ken, I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio.
Thanks for having me, Dale.
It's a pleasure to talk to you today. And Joe was just telling us about Team Rubicon and how he got involved in it. How did you get involved with Rubicon?
Well, as one of the co-founders of The Mission Continues, as Joe said, one of our very first grants at that organization was to Jake Wood, the co-founder of Team Rubicon with Will McNulty. So I've been tracking these guys for a while, and what really struck me was their innovative approach to solving problems, like a lot of veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. They just want to get stuff done, and when they saw that disaster unfolding on their TV screens in Haiti, they didn't miss a second. They got their rucks on, they put out the call for help, and they went down.
It sounded like a lot of them went down. Joe, you in the book, we're talking with Joe Klein, who happens to be the author of Charlie Mike here, and Ken Harbaugh, who happens to be a member, or actually the new COO of Team Rubicon, about how they just took off. I don't know. When I read the story, and it's, you know, there's one guy, and then there's, you know, 20 guys, and then there's 20 doctors and nurses and everything else, and they go across, quote, the Rubicon, into Haiti from the Dominican Republic.
Well, you want real numbers. There are now 32,000 Team Rubicon volunteers.
Wow.
I mean, 350 of them organized 10,000 civilians to take care of things after Hurricane Sandy, and to do the disaster relief that needed to be done then. It's an amazing organization. And there are now two of them. Ken is involved in, I'll let Ken tell you what he's involved with, but the global aspects of, overseas aspects of Team Rubicon are taken care of by Team Rubicon Global, and then there's also regular Team Rubicon.
Ken, you can fill us in on that, because in the book you talk about them going to the Philippines.
Yes.
Okay. So Ken, tell us about these two branches.
I think we've grown from those two Marines back in 2010, getting on a plane to Haiti, to 32,000. We're up to 33,000 now, Joe, because we struck a chord.
That's a thousand, an extra thousand in the last month.
Yeah, it's really taken off, because we're speaking to a part of the veterans' experience that I think remains largely untapped, and it's this idea that the vets of my generation are coming home with a tremendous amount left to give their communities and their country, like those vets at Walter Reed and the vets at Bethesda that I've met that Joe has talked about speaking with. I mean, their first impulse is to get back to their units. A lot of them can't do that. What they're really saying is they want to serve again. They want to be useful. They're not done serving their country. And Team Rubicon gives them a perfect outlet for that. In some ways, it's kind of a marriage of two problems, turning them into mutually reinforcing solutions. We've got natural disasters, which are on the rise worldwide, and we've got a million vets coming back to this country, taking off their uniforms, returning to civilian life over the next 5 years. And they are ideally situated, ideally trained to respond to these kinds of disasters. Vets have all the skills you want, the foundational skills that you can build on top of to turn them into the ideal disaster responders. They're great at leading teams of disparate individuals. They're great at solving problems in the toughest circumstances imaginable, and they can function in pretty dire circumstances. You take those qualities, you put them together with just a little bit of leadership and a little bit of training, and you have the makings of the best disaster relief organization in the world, which is what we're trying to be.
Well, we have to take a quick break here, so I'm asking both of you to stay on the line. We're going to do some news and a little ad here and there, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Joe Klein, writer of the book Charlie Mike, and with Kent Harbaugh, who is now one of the heads of Team Rubicon. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at them bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good on the pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and can't call in sick on Monday when you're in the service. We're talking with Joe Klein and Kent Harbaugh about Joe's new book, Charlie Mike. And I was very interested. I was reading a chapter, Ken, where you're talking about your grandfather's experiences as part of the Greatest Generation, and then you made a comment in the book about how your generation has a mission of its own.
Yeah, well, I think there's some differences between the generations, especially those that fought. I mean, a much higher percentage of my grandfather's generation. He was a B-17 pilot in the Pacific, and you know, most of his buddies, they rogered up and they served. My generation is very different, which has, you know, some effects on how we've been able to reintegrate. On the one hand, the veterans' experience coming home today is one that is much more tightly knit. It's a smaller community. You know, a lot of us sort of inhabit the same orbits. We're pretty close to each other. On the other hand, there's a much wider chasm to span in trying to relate to the civilians and the communities that we're trying to come home to. And overall, I would say it's probably more challenging. One of the advantages, of course, is that for now, the public at large, there's the sea of goodwill towards the American veteran that hasn't dried up yet, thank goodness.
We're here to make sure that it doesn't. That's the message, as Joe talked about. You know, this is the true 1%, and you know, we have to make sure that we, you know, provide you and your generation with all the opportunities that we can, and utilize your skills. And there are many. And I just wanted to go back just briefly. Ken, tell us a little bit about how you got involved. And it said, you know, you're a co-founder of one of the mission the organization called The Mission Continues. Can you tell me how that came about? I know we heard a little bit about what Eric was involved with.
Right. So I'm a Navy vet. I was a Navy pilot from 96 to 05 and had one experience in particular after coming back from Afghanistan and found myself in a place that is probably as far away from Kabul or Mazar-e-Sharif as you can get. It was a coffee house outside of Yale Law School where I was getting my degree after leaving the military. And I'm sitting there minding my business, and a couple of National Guard trucks rumble by. This is back in 07. And a kid next to me, sipping on his latte, says sarcastically, loud enough for everyone to hear, he says, "What, is there a war on?" Hmm. Back in 2007, if you recall, there wasn't just one war on, there were two. And his comment got me thinking about the young men and women that I had led as a combat reconnaissance mission commander, but also about the entire generation of vets that were going to start coming home to a country that not only didn't appreciate that we were at war, but would have no idea about how to welcome these people back into the fold in a way that was purposeful, that recognized them as assets, not liabilities. My dad was a Vietnam vet, served three tours, and you spoke to this a little bit already, Dale, but the welcome home he received, the welcome home his entire generation received, was not the welcome home they deserved. And Eric and I began talking about that. We had gone to school together. He had gone off to get his PhD at Oxford. I had joined the military, and he followed soon thereafter into the SEALs. And we realized that we had an opportunity here, and probably a short one, to begin to shift the narrative about this generation of vets so that this weird self-fulfilling prophecy about the Vietnam generation, that they were damaged goods, that they, you know, returned somehow unable to continue contributing to their communities and to their country, that we couldn't let that happen with this generation. And that's what began these trips to Bethesda and Walter Reed. I'll never forget my encounter at Bethesda with one Marine in particular. All of these Marines, like Joe said, wanted to serve again. This one Marine grabbed me by the hand as he was about to be wheeled into his 10th reconstructive surgery. And he said, "Sir, I lost my legs, but that's it. I didn't lose my desire to serve or my pride in being an American." And that sentiment was really the catalyst for this idea that became The Mission Continues, that I believe is growing into a movement now to redefine how we welcome back this generation of vets. They have so much left to give. It's not just about providing things to them. It's about providing opportunities for them to continue serving.
Well, I think what it sounds like from reading Joe Klein's book here, the Charlie Mike, is that you're giving them the opportunity to learn how to transition or change, you know, use their skills in a civilian environment. And because people need to know that, you know, number one, veterans don't quit. Number two, they can follow orders pretty well. Number three, if something goes wrong, they have a plan B, C, D, and E to make sure that the mission is accomplished. And if it's in the civilian world, they'll just make sure that the job gets done. And I think that people aren't used to that in today's world. It seems like there, you know, unfortunately, there are people that don't necessarily put 100% effort into their jobs.
Well, you know, one thing, Dale, that I noticed over the last 4 years as I worked on this book was that the post-traumatic stress, and notice I do not add the D part of it, disorder. I just call it post-traumatic stress. Post-traumatic stress isn't only about what our veterans saw and did over there. It's also about losing the tremendous sense of community that they had, being, you know, members of a unit, being Marines together or soldiers together, and being part of a purposeful community where you woke up every day and you knew you had a job to do and it was an important life and death job, and that you had brothers and sisters who would, you know, stop a bullet for you. You come home to the States, to this society where nothing is asked of anybody, and you know, you're 1% of the population and effectively all alone. What the Mission Continues and Team Rubicon and other groups like this do is they provide a sense of community. They bring veterans back together again. And I got to say, the times I've been out on Mission Continues service projects and Team Rubicon deployments, there's a kind of euphoria. It just feels good to be out there with your brothers and sisters again, helping people, not having to kill anybody, not having anybody shooting at you. It provides a model for the rest of society. It is something that veterans appreciate, the sense of community, the sense of being part of something larger than yourself. And for me, that is one of the most emotional parts of this experience.
I totally agree with you. I know that when I get involved in the veterans' activities, it just makes me feel so much better, you know, the giving back part of it. And, Joe, in the book, you mentioned the idea of, you know, that so many of these, unfortunately, these Iraq-Afghanistan veterans are committing suicide. And you also do something that we do. You talk about post-traumatic stress. So do we. We call post-traumatic stress drop the D. Because it's a universal problem. It's just that, you know, these guys, we were trained to do certain things, and when they don't necessarily, you know, and we're exposed to a lot of different things, and even, you know, we get overexposed to them sometimes. But you talk about a program in the book, in Charlie Mike, about the Give an Hour program. Could you talk about that just briefly? Because we talked about that on Veterans Radio before.
Yeah, well, both Mission Continues and Team Rubicon now have direct relationships with Give an Hour. In fact, part of the proceeds of the book goes to fund those programs. Give an Hour is a program of psychiatric professionals, counselors, and so on, who give an hour of their time each week to returning veterans who have post-traumatic stress problems. What I realized when I was out doing the tornadoes in Oklahoma with Team Rubicon was that I had the thought that, wow, we all feel so great doing this, but these guys are going to go back, and these women are going to go back home, and they're going to be alone again. And, Will McNulty, who is one of the two founders of Team Rubicon, would be fielding phone calls once a week from somebody who had been on a deployment and was home and severely depressed and had a gun to his head. And so now both Team Rubicon and the Mission Continues have staff members who are trained counselors to help out those folks who come back home from, you know, the great experience of helping others and are feeling, you know, are feeling alone.
Okay. We have to take another break, guys. I'm sorry. Could you hold on for just a minute? We'll be right back in about a minute and a half. And we're talking with Joe Klein, author of the book Charlie Mike, and we're also talking with Ken Harbaugh, who happens to be the COO of Team Rubicon. You've all heard about Team Rubicon. He was also one of the co-founders of the Mission Continues. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after this.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that
And we're back on Veterans Radio, living here in the land of the free on Talk Radio 1600 and on veteransradio.net. We're talking with Joe Klein, author of Charlie Mike, The True Story of War and Finding the Way Home, and Ken Harbaugh, who happens to be the COO of Team Rubicon and was part of the founding group of the Mission Continues, which are two great organizations that this generation of veterans are involved with to help you, the civilians out there. This is what they want to do. They want to continue their mission. And it's, I think it's a great story, Joe. And go ahead.
Yeah, Dale, what I really want to emphasize is that these programs are now open to the Vietnam era veterans as well. And, I've seen them out there doing community service projects and disaster relief, and it's a way for them to find a way home too.
Well, and can I add to that there's some wisdom there too when after a long, hard days of work in the field on a Team Rubicon deployment, you get the Team Rubicon members around that proverbial campfire sharing stories, and the Vietnam vet pipes up and weighs in with some of what he's experienced. It's powerful. It's instructive. It's helpful to my generation of vets to realize that we're not the first ones who've gone through this. We've opened up that experience to Vietnam vets, not just so we can give them an opportunity to realize the same sense of purpose, community, and identity, but to bring something to us, to the post 9/11 generation of vets.
It's kind of unusual to think that we can be mentors. We're at a point now where we're the mentors. But it's so exciting. I was talking to my wife the other day about it. I'd love to get involved in one of these house building things. I don't do roofs anymore, but I can still knock a nails in, and just to have that sense of purpose, I think is what is missing in so many people's lives. In the book, Joe, you talk about, and I just want to cover this, I don't want to say briefly, that doesn't sound right, but some of the people that were involved in the founding of both of these organizations that still weren't able to survive and committed suicide. I'm thinking mainly of Clay Hunt.
Yeah, well, Clay was a key figure in both of these organizations. He was Jake Wood's best friend in the Marines, and he came back suffering from post-traumatic stress and a traumatic brain injury, and he really struggled with coming back into society. And one thing that Jake noticed and that Clay himself noticed was that Clay was most whole when he was helping others. He made several trips to Haiti. He made other trips for other disaster relief missions. And those were his best times. And, after Clay died was when Team Rubicon expanded and began doing domestic disaster relief as well, because Jake and William McNulty realized that there are an awful lot of vets out there for whom this was therapy. What mm-hmm. we're finding, there's been some academic studies that the very act of helping others, the very act of being out in the community and seeing that other people have problems too, that is a form, it's a great way to treat post-traumatic stress. And it's a great way to make yourself feel healthy and useful.
Well, I totally agree with that, and I was just thinking about I can't remember the woman's name. I thought it was Natasha or something. So a woman that was recruited for the Mission Continues out of Massachusetts who just
Natasha Young.
That was it, and she did not want to get involved, but somebody convinced her, and now go ahead.
We've had that experience time and time again, and it happens at Team Rubicon as well. And what you see, I mean, the pattern is that you get that first experience of fellowship, of community, after leaving the military, and it becomes almost addictive. And you add to that this sense of purpose of helping people. In the case of Team Rubicon, of helping people on the worst days of their life after a disaster. It's the kind of thing you don't just do once. We've got 33,000 members now, and once they've served on a Team Rubicon deployment, they're just waiting for the next one. It's a little macabre, I guess, because we do disasters, but we are at our best during tornado season or hurricane season, when you have all of these veterans part of Team Rubicon Nation raising their hands once again and pledging to support their communities in that time of need. We don't have to do much salesmanship at all. We've got an army of recruiters now that help the Natashas and everyone else realize what a powerful experience, what a transformative and rehabilitative experience this kind of service can be.
I agree. It's just an amazing activity, and that's something that men and women want to do. You want to become part of your community. You want to maintain being part of that community, and this is giving everybody an opportunity to do that. And so if people want to help out either one of your organizations, Ken, how could they donate money or time to you?
Go to TeamRubiconUSA.org. That will give you the window into any number of ways to help, whether it's donate or sign up. And as Joe said, we're not limited to post 9/11 vets or vets at all. We have plenty of really outstanding volunteers who have other specialized skills that we need, and we're happy to have those civilians serve on our deployments. And for the Mission Continues, I think it's still missioncontinues.org.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'd add is that, you know, we talked about Clay Hunt who committed suicide, but his widow goes on Team Rubicon deployments. She was part of the Hurricane Sandy deployment.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just veterans; it's also their family members who can get out there and help. And you know, I really, to me, the most important thing about this, and the thing that upsets me the most, is how little citizens understand about the quality of this generation of veterans, but also how easily dismissed they are. And how much the rest of us civilians can learn from veterans. And I hear about veterans who refuse to put their service on their resumes and don't like talking about it, and I can understand that. But they're just, you know, they feel that they're going to be treated differently and worse like the Vietnam generation was. And that is truly unfortunate, and I think that these groups and this generation in general are beginning to show the rest of the world, the rest of the country, what they're made of, and they're going to be a great generation of American leaders.
I know. I can hardly wait. It's one of those things where I get to sit back and say, okay, it's your turn to do this. There's a quote that we use here quite often on Veterans Radio from George Washington, and it says that the willingness with which our young people are likely to serve in any war, no matter how justified, shall be directly in proportion to how they perceive veterans of earlier wars were treated and appreciated by our nation.
Right.
And this is true, folks. This is to call out to our civilians out there. It's not just thank you for your service. It's like, what can you do to help out? What can they do to help you? These are a very, very talented group of young men and women, and I'm hoping that I can't wait. I'm very excited to see what's going to happen. I'm fortunate enough. I teach at a local community college, and I have veterans running through my class every semester, and I'm just more and more impressed with the men and women that have served in this generation. So I want to thank you, honestly, Ken, for what you're doing with both organizations, and Joe, especially this book. Folks, this book, you've got to go out and get it. You're going to laugh, you're going to cry, but it's going to motivate you, and you're going to want to get out of the house and help, because that's what these men and women are doing. I know that many of you volunteer for different types of organizations, but if you don't have one that you want to help out, read the book, because I think you'll find one. So we've got about 2 minutes left. I'm sorry. So, Joe, what would you like people to remember about the book, and where can we find it, obviously?
Well, you know, it's funny. People assume that a book about veterans is a book about the plight of veterans. And Charlie Mike is not about the plight of veterans, although there is some real suffering that takes place in it. It's about veterans as an inspiration. It's about veterans as leaders. And so if you think the book is going to be a bummer, you're wrong. You're going to be inspired by it. That's why I wrote it. I wrote it for this generation of veterans so that they would know that some of us civilians actually kind of get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I it's a very uplifting book. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. This book, you will feel great after you've read it, because you're going to feel like you just need to go run out of the house and go help somebody. That's the way I feel. So anyway, I want to thank you both very much for being on Veterans Radio today. Joe Klein, author of Charlie Mike, buy it. It's available on Amazon. It's available on our website. And I think that you'll be fascinated when you read it. It's going to give you a whole different perspective of what veterans can do in your community. And Ken Harbaugh, congratulations on your new job with Team Rubicon. And I'd love to talk to you both again sometime in the near future.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Everybody have a happy holiday. This is an opportunity for everybody to help. How much time have I got? 1 minute. Okay, so let me go through the list here of what you can do. Charlie Mike is the book we talked about today. You can find this on Amazon. Jake Wood has written a book entitled Take Command. If you want to find out more about Eric Crichton's, you can go to his website, because he's running for governor of Missouri and he's looking for help. I don't know. I got an email asking for a contribution. I don't live in Missouri, but maybe I'll have to help him out. He seems like a great person. You can listen to Veterans Radio on our website in our archives. You can listen to us on Live365/Veterans Radio. Make sure you go to the Veterans Radio bookstore. It's that time of year, holiday season. You can order any one of the books that we have talked about here on Veterans Radio. Coming up next week is Bob Gould with The Baddest of the Bad. They're going to be talking about the generals of World War II. And until then, I don't think I've forgotten anything. You are dismissed.